Authorities say Jose Padilla has a long criminal record and had previously discussed making a terrifying weapon. Yet officials believe a so-called dirty bomb is harder to build and less effective than it might seem, NPR's Steve Inskeep reports.
U.S. officials suspected Al-Qaeda of seeking nuclear materials long before they began tracking Jose Padilla. Intelligence officials believe Osama bin Laden's associates tried to buy the components for full-scale nuclear bombs in the 1990s, but they failed. Late last year, when the U.S. military began seizing Al-Qaeda caves in Afghanistan, the soldiers found few signs of nuclear activity. Now, authorities contend that Padilla was trying something that at least seems easier. A terrorist could build a dirty bomb by obtaining some conventional explosives and mixing them with radioactive material stolen from a food processing plant or a factory. If it worked, the explosion could contaminate a wide area. Early this year, Phil Anderson of the Center for Strategic and International Studies set up a simulation. It studied the effects of a blast near the National Air and Space Museum in Washington.
So an 8-knot wind out of the southeast when this bomb was detonated caused the radiological material to be dispersed across approximately 25% of the District of Columbia.
Anderson says the first firefighters and police to respond to the explosion might arrive without protective suits.
I think we can safely assume that in 90 minutes they will reach their max radiological dose rate for one day, and they're going to have to be pulled back.
After the initial crisis, officials in any city would face a tougher problem, cleaning up an area contaminated with hazardous particles. Tom Cochran studies nuclear issues for the Natural Resources Defense Council.
If you go to some of these government facilities, Department of Energy facilities like Oak Ridge National Laboratory, where they've worked with this kinds of material for years, they wash the walls down and then they can't get it all off, and so they paint them. They put, you know, rubber down on the floor so you don't walk on the contamination, and, you know, or tape a piece of plastic on the floor so you can walk over it, because often you just can't get this stuff up.
Yet authorities say a dirty bomb probably would not kill very many people. Most people exposed to radiation would face an increased risk of cancer, but little more. Some experts believe dirty bombs could cause mass terror, but not mass destruction.
They've always been on the radar screen because they're a credible threat. They're a thing someone could build and make. They tend to be pretty far down our list of concerns.
Jay Davis is the National Security Fellow at Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory in California. Until last year, he directed a Pentagon office studying ways to cut back on nuclear, chemical, or biological threats. Davis says it's a mistake to think these weapons are easy to make. Even if someone obtains nuclear material, it's hard to move it and hard to handle it safely. Weapons-grade uranium is extremely heavy. Materials like iridium, used to irradiate food, require heavy shielding.
You're probably more at risk yourself in making this than the people are when you blow it up, because you've got it in concentrated form as you're putting it together and then you disperse it. Every time we look at one of these radiological weapons, we see them as a large explosive, which, oh, by the way, makes an environmental mess.
But it almost sounds like you'd almost want a terrorist to spend all his time and energy on one of these as opposed to something more effective.
I would be much happier to have a terrorist spend his time and energy on one of these than either on a biological weapon or on a real nuclear weapon.
A dirty bomb could still be a devastating weapon, but on the day they arrested him in Chicago, authorities say Jose Padilla was still far away from making that weapon a real threat. Steve Inskeep, NPR News, Washington.